Darren Cruikshank, the champ. What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Good, good. Yeah, we're on the air now. Yo, thank you so much for coming on again. You actually were one of two guests who came on our first episode, so we hold you near and dear. This is our 32nd episode now. We've had a bunch of people on from Anik, Schiavello, Lieben, McCall, Tate, but you and John Albert will hold a special place in our hearts for being on that first episode. How's your day going, man?
Well, I'm honored to be on the first episode, and now this is the 32nd, so you guys must be doing some good things and keeping the show running. As far as me, I just got out of training, and I'm actually parked at the gas station so we can do this interview, because I drive a 1979 Bronco, and it is super loud. So that way, you know, you can hear me, and I can hear you.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, you're also the first guest we've had on twice, so you're breaking records every time. Yeah, my buddy had, I think, like a 76 Firebird, and yeah, you could not have a phone conversation in that. So I guess if you're waiting around, I'll get straight to it. Obviously, your last win against Henry Martinez made your stock explode in the lightweight division, but it was actually kind of crazy. You all were originally slated to fight at that infamous UFC 151 card, and then the fight got pushed back a couple months. Take us through that whole clusterfuck that was UFC 151 and having it be canceled and everyone being upset at John Jones. I'm sure that was wild.
Well, I actually found out a buddy of mine that is a hardcore MMA fan, doesn't train or anything, gave me a call. I actually just got done getting, like, my last massage. I'm headed home. I, like, leave the next day or two. You know, my training has peaked already, and I'm not training hard anymore, and I'm kind of calming down, you know, and I'm on my way home from the massage, and my buddy calls me, and he's like, hey, you know you're not fighting? I'm like, what? How am I not fighting? He's like, yeah, I seen online that, you know, they're dropping the card, and I'm like, dang, I haven't even gotten a call yet, you know, but anybody, and that's basically how it happened, and, I mean, it sucks because, you know, you spend time. I went out to your favors. I paid for that, and you know, you invest money in yourself to get ready for fights. And you know, I'm still at the bottom of the barrel as far as, you know, I'm not making a ton of money. So the money that I do make, I've invested right back into myself. So that getting ready for that fight for UFC 151, it sucked, but. You know, UFC takes care of their guys, and they hooked me up with, you know, a check to make sure that, you know, I was comfortable and I could get ready for it again. UFC 5 on Fox, and, you know, they take care of their guys. So I was comfortable, and, you know, they supported me. So, and I put on a good show, so I'm pretty sure they're happy about it.
Yeah, you put on a hell of a show. I want to talk about that in 1 second. But, you know, thanks to our partnership with the Word on the Street podcast, we have a pretty big constituency of Chael Sonnen fans. Do you hold any ill will against John Jones for not taking that fight against Chael Sonnen on 8 days' notice?
You know, here's the thing. You know, Chael's not in that weight class. He doesn't really deserve the shot. I mean, he's an awesome entertainer, and that's what he is. But he doesn't necessarily, I don't believe that he is deserved of a title shot yet. You know, I mean, he's a stud wrestler. He's going to do well against him, but I think that he should have to go out and win some fights first. Not saying anything bad about him. He's, you know, one of the best, guys in the UFC right now. But, you know, I feel like, You gotta earn it a little bit, you know. But he sells himself really well. That's how he gets these fights. You know, if I could learn anything from him, it would be, you know, to sell yourself, to make an image for yourself, and get your name out there for that reason. But as far as am I mad at John Jones? No, definitely not. He's the champ. He's trying to do his legacy. You know, he's trying to make a legacy, and you know. Changing a fight that short notice against a guy that doesn't necessarily deserve the matchup, I completely agree with them, you know, and I don't think that they should have destroyed the entire card, but, you know, that's not my choice, and I was okay with whatever, you know, the UFC decides to do. You know, they're the boss, they're the best company to fight for, and I'm just happy to be in the UFC.
Definitely. So the fight against Henry Martinez rescheduled, I believe, from October to December 8th, that UFC on Fox Henderson Diaz card in Seattle. I was actually watching it with our co-host Chris, who's actually taking a break now. You and he tweet all of the time, so I'm sure you're familiar with him. But we were watching it, talking on Skype, and we both went absolutely crazy when that kick landed. I actually rewatched the fight today and almost forgot a little bit about how vicious you were through the first and second round with all of those kicks. You know, it was a barrage, really sort of a testament to Henry, the assault he took, and, you know, staying in the game. Kind of take us through that fight, you know, from round one, obviously, to round two, when you ended that fight with that decapitation of a head kick knockout.
You know, I really felt that, you know, Henry wanted to put me on my back, and that's where he wanted to get me there. He didn't want to stay on the feet with me, but every time he tried getting in close, I was cutting him up with elbows and knees and things like that. And he did get on the leg a few times, but he didn't finish the takedown. He, you know, he tried to put me on the cage, and I feel like I wrestled for a long time, and I've got good hips and, you know, balance and things like that. And you know, my wrestling ability stopped his takedown. And, you know, I stayed where I wanted to be, on my feet. And, you know, so my game plan was, you know, I wanted to go in there and knock him out, put on a show for the fans. And being that he is that tough and he could take the punishment, that led up to a great show for the fans. I mean, there was a couple times in the first round where I felt like, you know, any other person or another person, I would have been done. You know, I was very surprised at how tough he was and how he was able to come back at me every single time until, you know, the lights actually went out. So you got to give Henry Martinez some credit.
Yeah, yeah, and he really, really took a lot of damage. But obviously, even though you somehow didn't win knockout of the night, I almost wanted to start a Kickstarter fund just because you really deserve that cash. But, you know, there was a media circus. I was even watching SportsCenter. I was like, what? Crookshanks number 3 on the SportsCenter top 10? It was really crazy. I'm sure it was a media circus. How long did it take for all of that craziness to die down after that knockout?
You know, it's kind of funny because I am up and coming and things like that. And Michigan, you know, the only people that really recognized me before was, like, the hardcore fans. And now when I go to, like, you know, Walmart or Myers or wherever, you know, out to B-Dubs, every time, you know, someone stops me and says, hey, are you that guy that was on SportsCenter, da, da, da. So it's kind of nice, you know, to know that, like, people are starting to recognize me and things like that. And, you know, when I do see people that are fans and stuff, I always try to take pictures with them or their kids. And it just makes me feel good, like, you know, all my hard work is paying off and things like that. And, you know, I love it. You hear the train?
Yeah, yeah. Ramses, you there, man?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Darren? It's an honor to be speaking with you. I'm Ramses.
How's it going?
Great, man. Great. Now that I'm talking to you, just had a couple quick questions for you about the knockout, kind of related. I saw you, like, I remember where I was when you almost caved in Henry Martinez's skull, because it was my birthday, man. That was a great knockout. I was just wondering, honestly, because you would know, why is it that some fighters in the UFC just don't have knockout power like you? Like, for example, Gray Maynard, he's a great fighter, but he can't knock anyone out to save his mama's life. Like, what is he doing wrong, or is there a secret to power striking? What's the deal?
As far as power and knocking someone out, you know, everybody's got a button, and I believe you just got to stay relaxed. You know, even when I'm training, if I, like, you know, get mad at somebody and I'm like, and I'm trying to knock them out, it just doesn't happen, you know. But it's when I just, like, throw something fast, whop, and then, oh, crap, dude, you okay? You know, you just got to stay relaxed, and when you're relaxed, everything snaps, everything's, you know, nice and fluid, and that's just, you know, you just got to just calm down a little bit.
Yeah, and how many, have you ever, like, knocked somebody out in training or a fight and then thought, holy shit, this guy might be dead? Like, have you ever thought somebody, because I saw that Uriah Hall knockout on Tough on The Ultimate Fighter. I don't know if you saw that. It was pretty scary. I'm sure you've had a few of those. Did you ever think someone was actually dead?
Dead? No. I mean, I've hit guys and they've had to get, like, surgeries and stuff like that. But, you know, thankfully I haven't killed anybody. It kind of seems like I have to so I can get a bonus. But, you know, hopefully nothing like that ever happens.
Yeah, so, like, let's say that, like, when you throw a kick, like, relaxed, you know, let's say the one that you knocked Henry Martinez out with was, like, an 8 on your power scale. Like, do you think you could hit, like, a 10 or 11 and actually, like, probably kill, like, the average UFC fan?
You know, I feel like I can always have more power. And I was always taught, like, if I smoke somebody with something hard, you know, a lot of people, you know, say they can take a punch, and it almost, like, mentally messes with people if you give them as hard as you can, and then they keep coming forward. Well, I was taught if I give them something hard and they keep coming forward, then that's a challenge to me to give them something even harder the next shot. So that's how I, you know, I hit Henry with a bunch of hard stuff that he should have went down with, but he didn't. So I just had to relax and let another one go.
Yeah, and that reminds me, about 2 years ago, you fought Mike Ritchie, and I believe he took it. You guys went the distance. It was for the ringside lightweight title, but you won by a unanimous decision. Now, you're both in the, you and Mikey Ritchie are both in the UFC now, and he's moving down to your weight class. So would you be down for a rematch if he called you out? And, like, how hard of a fight was it the first time around?
No, the Mike Ritchie fight was probably one of my most fun fights I had, because it was, you know, I was earlier in my career, and I got to show a little of my skill, because it went 25 minutes. It wasn't, you know, a three rounder. It wasn't something that got stopped in the first round. It was 25 minutes of basically kickboxing, because in the first, you know, a couple minutes, he kept trying to take me down, stuff like that, after I hit him. And then, you know, throughout the fight, it was basically me chasing him around. And every time we engaged, I hit him with a bunch of kicks, and then he would try to take me down, and just didn't work out. You know, he did get a couple takedowns, but I got right back up. And in that fight, I just got to show off a lot of my skill that I wasn't able to in my prior fight.
So you think a rematch with him would be fun then?
Yeah, sure. Show me the money.
Hell yeah. I'd pay to watch it.
That's a big motivator for me. You know, I got a lot of student loans I got to pay off and things like that. So the more fights that I get, the better for me. And, you know, as long as I can fight, I'll definitely do it.
Yeah, you did get robbed of the knockout of the night bonus, but it was by my hero, the Thug Jitsu Master, Eve Edwards. So if that's any consolation, at least it was a good guy that kind of robbed you of it, but you did deserve it.
it was a great knockout, but I was basically told that, you know, my fight, I was supposed to knock Henry out. I mean, there's always a chance that he would win, but in my eyes, I was supposed to knock him out. And in the Eve Edwards fight, both of them, they're both been fighting in the UFC for a long time. They've both never been knocked out. And that was basically, you know, it was a higher caliber fight, and that's why Eve got the knockout of the night.
Yeah.
Definitely,
you know,
definitely.
And I'm not, you know, mad or anything about it. You know, the UFC takes care of their guys, and I'm just happy to be in the UFC. You know, it's where I want to be, and I always have more fights and more opportunities to get those bonuses.
Word.
For sure, yeah, you're talking about student loans. I know all about that game for sure. So you knock out Henry, and about a month later, early January, it's announced that you're going up against the Canadian John McDessie, March 16th at UFC 158 in Montreal. What kind of was your first reaction? Had you heard of John McDessi. You know, what was your reaction when you found out that would be your opponent?
You know, I really didn't know who he was until they gave me his name, and you know, I looked him up a little bit, seen a little bit on his style or whatever you would say, and when I got the text message to of his name and stuff, it also said, "Hey, this could be Fight of the Night bonus. This is one of the runs that would run up for Fight of the Night bonus." And I said, "Yep, let's do it."
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're going to be going to Montreal to fight a Canadian on his home turf. You've already done it three times, and you are 3-0. One of those being that fight against Ricci we talked about before. But obviously, none of those three crowds are going to be as wild as a UFC crowd in Montreal. You have any apprehensions of going in and being a huge, huge? I don't know what the word is. You're not going to be the crowd favorite there, is what I'm getting at.
Well, actually, I love it. It excites me to come in. Being a UFC fighter and being at that stage, it's just like being in like the professional wrestling. You know, there's always a good guy, there's always a bad guy. Both roles have to be played. In this fight, I'll be the bad guy. I've done it a couple times, like you said. And, I always do well at it. So I welcome it. I'm good at it. So let's do it up. And the good thing is all those fights that I had, in the middle of the fight or after the fight, when I was going out there, I was being booed. And when I won, I was being cheered. And that's what I look forward to turning the fans that are against me into fans that are for me.
For sure, yeah, and these fans, I'm sure after seeing your style, will be fans of the Detroit superstar after this fight. John, the guy you're fighting, John McDessi, he's 10-2, most of his wins by a knockout, coming off a win against Sam Stout at UFC 154 via decision. Are you training just like normal for this fight, or are you making any changes? Seeing that John's more of a stand-up guy and he's probably more dangerous on his feet to knock you out than he is necessarily, a ground guy. He's not probably not going to be as likely to tap you as he is to try and finish the fight with strikes.
Here's the thing: I don't really worry about what the guy that I'm fighting is good at. That's awesome that they're good at that. But, I basically just concentrate on myself. Make sure that I'm ready, my cardio's ready, my hands are good. Everything's working in sync with each other. And as long as that's what I'm worried about, everything's going to come out anyway. I train for it all. It's mixed martial arts. You got to train to be good on your feet. You got to train for the takedown. You got to train to off your back and on the wall and everything like that. There's no specialty that I'm training for, because once I hit somebody, no matter if they're a grappler or not, they're probably going to try to take me down, so you got to be ready for it, for anything.
For sure, yeah. You're up in Michigan now, I'm assuming. Are you doing 100% of your training in Michigan, or what's going on with your training camp currently?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere this time. This is... everything's in Michigan. If it's not broke, don't fix it. I got my support system here, and I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, we spoke with you last, coming off that tough season. You were on Team Faber. Do you still follow up with Team Alpha Male and plan on training over there in the future? Or?
Oh, yeah. I actually went out there before my last fight and training with those guys. I actually have one of my guys out there right now that is training with Team Alpha Male. There's a good relationship there. I got pretty close with Uriah and all those guys when I was in the house with them, and there'll always be a friendship there.
Ramses? Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, Darren, I had a question come in from Twitter for you. It was from Yao the First. He wants to know, it was kind of a comment, but he wants to know, why not just call out Benson Henderson for the championship when you win at UFC 158? That's his question. And I guess on top of that, are you the type of guy that will call people out, or what's your plan here? Do you even care about the title?
No. On my to-do list before I die, I would like to have a UFC world title. You know, that's on my future board that, at home that I made. But, you know, I learned early in my career. I fought for a couple of world titles, you know, earlier, King of Cage and G-Force and then Ringside. And then I felt like, you know, I was ready to go. I was undefeated. Let's do this, da-da-da. And you know, my father said, you know, you don't have enough experience for that yet. And, you know, I should have listened to him and things like that. But, you know, I was gung-ho and let's do it up. I'm going to get this title, da-da-da. I feel like, you know, eventually I will be UFC world title caliber. But, you know, I'm still just a baby in the sport. You know, I got to go through a couple guys and climb that ladder in the UFC, you know, to deserve a title shot. And that'll come. But, you know, not immediate, not right now. I'm very thankful for being where I'm at now, and I am hungry, and I do plan on being there someday, but, you know, step by step.
Yeah, you gotta bust a few heads first, I understand, and you will, and I'll be betting on you every time, actually. I actually predicted on the MMA podcast that you were going to defeat Henry Martinez with a zombie head kick that decapitated him. Another question that I have, I follow you on Twitter, and yesterday was Valentine's Day, and you tweeted a picture of you and your cat hanging out. So what's up, man? Did you strike out or something? You're in the UFC, and you should be surrounded by crazy-ass hoes. So what's the deal here? What's the word on the street?
Well, I mean, I did go out to dinner with somebody, but, I try to keep the personal life personal, you know. I am on Twitter buttload. But, you know, I'm not running around. You know, I have things to concentrate on, you know, and that kind of stuff will get me in trouble.
Okay. All right. So as long as you weren't alone, then that's good to hear then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My cat's always, at home.
Awesome.
For sure. Yeah. We had Tom Lawler on just a couple of months ago and said a big part of his training camp is practicing grappling with his cat. I think it was like Sergeant Wafflestein or Sergeant Whiskerton, something like that. Do you ever practice BJJ with your cat?
No, I actually like to do a lot of like, I do like, you know, kettlebell stuff with him. Like I hold his belly up, and I do, you know, presses and swings and things like that. My cat, I don't know if you've seen a picture, but he's a fat cat. I mean, he's like 30 pounds or something like that. So, you know, I get my workout in.
Oh, so you probably wouldn't want to put your cat up against a grappling match against Tom Lawler's cat?
I don't know, because my cat beats the crap out of my roommate's pit bull. So I think he'd be okay.
True. Yo, Darren, we had you on our first episode, and we kind of started a tradition with you and John, and we asked every guest we had on what their favorite flavor of ice cream was, and you're the first guy to come on twice, so we had to cook up a second question. So, Darren, this is way more important than the ice cream question, but
okay.
Darren Cruikshank, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, man. Do I get a weapon or something?
You can use...
The left and the right. How about that?
The old left and the right.
We saw you kick
well,
that many
times. I think I could kick 100 times. Is it a chicken or duck? Yeah. Let's do 100
duck-sized horses.
And I'm gonna throw 100 different kicks. Actually, let's go. I'll throw 99 round kicks, and then a jump spin hook it to take out the last.
Yes.
To take out the last duck-sized horse while the horse-sized duck stays at home without getting decapitated by a Crookshank KO. Yo, thank you so much for coming on. I'm looking forward to that fight against John. That's going to be March 16th, UFC 158 in Montreal. Darren Crookshank is Crookshank155 on Twitter. CRUICKSHANK155. You have any plugs, man?
No, I just want to thank everybody on Facebook and Twitter that are listening, and everybody out there that are listening for the support and the motivation for me. Hopefully you guys are all watching me at UFC 158.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it and looking forward to having you back on after you take care of Mr. McDessie up in Montreal.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Take it easy, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
See you.
Yep, no problem. Bye-bye.
Later.